You are listening to audio from Riverside Church. If you would like to check out more resources, please visit riverside.church.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to Riverside. My name's Keith. I'm one of the leaders around here. If you've been newer the past couple months, you have no clue who I am, but I've been on sabbatical the past 2 months. I mean, the responsibilities of pastoring have been, for 2 months, taking off of my shoulders, and I've been given space to focus on things of my heart, things of my intellect, and on things of faith. And I really want to say thank you. I mean, you've really blessed me with this opportunity. It was a really neat time for me and for my family. I got to send my first two kids off to college, which I was weeping like a baby. I got really nice time to process with my wife about what God and I has for our family in this next season. I had a lot of space to spend time with Jesus just for me. Sometimes when I spend time with Jesus, like, I'm not a professional Christian. I love Jesus, but sometimes you feel like a professional Christian as a pastor. Everything you read, you're thinking, oh, I could preach on that, or this would be great for this person, it would be great for that person. And to have space just to spend time with Jesus just for me, it was so amazing. And I know a lot of you made sacrifices so I could have that time. So for all of you, I just want to say thanks. I mean, really, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Now, someone asked me last week, Keith, are you bummed that you have to go back to work so soon? And my answer is, oh, no, I'm ready. I'm ready to go back to the rhythm of being plugged into a family of faith. I'm ready to go back to pastoring. I'm ready to go back to teaching. I mean, I'm ready. But I think it's also important that I let you know that God's been very clear to me during these two months. As I return here as one of our leaders, as I return here as one of our elders, as I return to this title that I have of lead pastor, God's been pretty clear to me that I need to return with a listening posture. He said it very clearly. Keith, go back and listen. See, many times leaders like me, we go away with time with Jesus. It's like we go to the mountaintop with Christ and we come back ready to cast vision and share with the church, here's where we're going next. But that's not been the case with me, at least not these past 2 months. And God was very clear. He said, Keith, I have been moving at Riverside these past 2 months that you've been gone. Keith, I've been working among the church these past 2 months. So don't you dare come back and miss that. Come back and listen. Listen to what I've been doing. Discern with the church what's been going on. So look, my type A personality is back. My hard-charging, people-loving, strong-willed personality is back. But I'm not back to cast vision, at least not yet. I'm back to listen. I want to listen to you all. What's God been doing here? I mean, I'd love to hear from you. What has God been doing this past summer that I've been gone? I want to discern together what God has for us next as a church family. That's kind of the posture God's told me to have as I return. And so that's hopefully the posture I'll be able to be faithful with. So all I have to say, I want to say thank you. Thank you so much for giving me these 2 months. And it's great to be back with you all. With that said, today we do start a new sermon series in which we're going to go through parts of the books of Acts together. Normally we go through a book verse by verse, but in this series will be a little different. You see, we have a devotional that will go verse by verse through Acts, and many Riversiders will be going through that devotional throughout the weeks. You can get those in the back, paper copy, you can get those online, you can get those emailed to you. We'll be going through this devotional this fall verse by verse. But the plan for the preaching series is then to look a week ahead at the passage that will be covered, pick one, and go a little deeper into it together. And so that's the plan this fall. We'll kind of use the devotional to go verse by verse, and then the preaching will kind of take one passage from the week and go deeper. Now, the book of Acts, it really helps flesh out the mission of the church. We're going to see the mission of the church on full display. We're going to see how God's Spirit drives the church and how God's Spirit, it really is the book, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit in many ways. It should be called the Acts of the Spirit. We're going to see how the Spirit moves the church. And our leaders discerned months ago that this is what God wants us to focus on this fall. So we're going to focus on Acts this fall together. So with that said, let's pause. Let's acknowledge that His Spirit is in the room right now with us. Let's ask Him to open up our hearts and minds, the word today. Holy Spirit, the untamable Spirit of God, the Spirit that I so often try to domesticate, you are welcome to have your way. Move in us and through us. God, bring your conviction as you see fit. Bring your encouragement where encouragement's needed. Bring insight where we need the insight. God, as a communal people, we pray that we'd be unified under the name and the banner of Christ. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your work that will be on display today in your passage. And God the Father, thank you for your heart that is full of love and grace and compassion. We love you. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. So there's this question. There's this question the disciples asked Jesus in the opening of the book of Acts that really resonated with me this week. You see, the books of Acts, it picks back up with the resurrected Jesus walking around talking about God's reign. I mean, the resurrected Jesus is now walking around talking about God's rule. The book of Acts starts with the resurrection. And if you think about that, if you're a disciple, you're a disciple of Christ, you've walked with him for 3 years, you've seen the ups, the downs, the really lows, the very lows, you've seen the cross. But now he's resurrected. He's talking about God's perfect reign, his perfect rule. You're probably thinking, smooth sailing, right? I mean, he's defeated death. The cross is behind him. He's back from the dead. He's talking about God's perfect reign. He's talking about God's perfect rule. It probably seems to them it's now easy sailing, easy peasy. On a side note, the week I left for sabbatical, we were averaging 4 new COVID cases in the entire county per day, and there were only 2 hospitalizations in the entire county due to COVID. So I left for my sabbatical thinking, very much so, smooth sailing. We're done. Woohoo! Easy peasy. I thought I was going to come back and no more of that. Of course, you know, got the Delta variant spreading and you have the mask debate and the vaccine debates are in full swing now with school starting back up and it's just feels like a mess again. And I naively thought coming back, things in our culture are going to be easy peasy, smooth sailing with all of this. And I think the disciples had a similar experience in the book of Acts, right? He's defeated the grave. He's walking around there in the flesh. He's talking about God's kingdom, God's perfect rule. So logically, you would think that's it, right? That would be logical. Yet the disciples, they look around and God's people are still under oppression by Rome. They're still a small country state occupied by a foreign enemy. Their own leaders, a guy named Herod and his crew, were still in power and they were still very much corrupt. And their legal system was in shambles, and their religious institutions were corrupt, and their economy was not the great. Things needed fixing. Sound familiar at all to you? Is it a little close to home? But Jesus rose from the grave. I mean, amen, right? And he's talking about God's perfect reign. He's talking about God's perfect rule. And so they ask a very logical and a very theological question in verse 6. The disciples are going, wait a minute. We have a logical and a theological question, Jesus, in verse 6. Then they, the disciples, gathered around him, the resurrected Jesus, talking about the kingdom. And they said, are you going to do it? When are you going to fix it? Lord, are you at this time? Is it this time now you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? In other words, are you going to fix it now? Is this the time? And I think if you're honest, you've asked those questions too, haven't you? Like, you're sitting across the desk from your doctor, and she announces the test results, and you're thinking, I thought we were done with. Or you're sitting across the table from a spouse and your spouse says, it's over. And you're like, what? Or you're sitting across the coffee table with your pastor planning a memorial service for your loved one. Or you're sitting across the table, conference room table from your boss who says, it's time to separate. You've been laid off. I mean, if you're honest, each of us has been in a setting or a situation that's prompted you to ask the question, God, are you going to fix this? God, are you going to fix it now? When are you going to restore these things? And the early disciples basically asked Jesus that question here in the opening of Acts. And Jesus' reply, honestly, is kind of encouraging. For me, it's mostly discouraging. He replies in verse 7, he says, it's not for you to know the time or the dates that the Father has already set by his own authority. Now, sure, to a degree that's encouraging. I mean, because it does mean God is going to fix things, right? It does mean that God is going to one day fix things once and for all. God will wipe all illness off the face of the planet one day, and all sickness and suffering will cease, and every eye will be wiped dry, and every war will cease. And our world, as Scripture states in Isaiah 2, will turn swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. And God will bring about a time where justice is realized and where poverty and hunger cease. In other words, God's going to fix things. Jesus said, God's going to fix things. He is going to restore his kingdom. He's already got the date set. So it's encouraging. As I tell myself is encouraging, right? Because for me, it's a little bit more discouraging. And I mean, the disciples and Keith, as a disciple, want immediate action. I'm thinking, the resurrection's happened. The Holy Spirit's living in and among us, right? Is it? I mean, I want immediate responses from my trials and my troubles and my hurts. And they're thinking, since Christ has conquered the grave, he's talking about God's kingdom, it's time. But Jesus informs them that their timetable and God's timetable is not the same. You ever been informed that? Realize, oh, God's timetable, my timetable is not the same. Yes, he will fix things, but there's this in-between time. There's this in-between time between the resurrection and the ascension of Christ where the kingdom has come, but it's not yet here. And so we're to pray more of your kingdom. And we're in between his second coming where he'll set everything right. There's this in-between time here on earth. And Christ says it's not for us to know all the details. This is how the book of Acts starts. This is how the mission of the church starts, friends. So the question is, well, what do we do? What do we do in this in-between time when we're saved by Jesus, where we do experience amazing things from God? Amen? We experience amazing things from God, and yet we still look around and we see brokenness and injustice and suffering and things that are just flat out wrong. So like we're caught in this in-between time, and the question is, how do we live right now? And really, that's what the book of Acts is all about. How we as the church are to live and breathe and be part of what God is doing here on earth right now, knowing full well that this place is never going to be fully set right until he returns in the future. But we do have a role. We do have a mission. There are things to do, and the book of Acts is going to tell us the things that we are called to do, friends. We are called to do some things. That's what Acts is all about. I mean, verse 8, the next verse makes it very clear. It's sometimes called the Great Commission. We have a role to play. I mean, Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you, and you're going to have a thing to do. You're to be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That's your hometown. And in Judea, that's kind of your state. And even Samaria, the broader country, and even to the ends of the earth, you have things to do. So things aren't fully restored, and God's people are going to have a role to play in this message, in this spreading of this great news, and this great work. And we're going to see that on full display in Acts. I mean, oh my goodness, friends. The action that we're going to see in Acts is awesome. It's just fun. The miracles we will see in Acts is awesome. The conflict in the church that we will see in Acts is real. Did you know the early church had conflicts among themselves too? It wasn't perfect either. I know. We're going to see brutal persecution of God's people. God's people have always been marginalized and persecuted when they're following Christ. This is an action-packed book. The early church does not sit on the hands. The early church is not just like holding on till they die and go to heaven. That's not what the early church does. You don't read that in the book of Acts. You read the book of Acts and you get this sense of they're called to go. There's a lot to do. Reminds me of our mission. Our mission here at this church is know, be, do together. Those are the simple ways to remember. Know Jesus intimately. Be transformed by the Spirit. Do mission with God, and we do all this together. And that do part, that do mission with God part of our mission, it's going to be on full display in the book of Acts. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. We're going to see this. But in the opening to this action-packed book, Jesus gives one clear instruction. Only one word he gives in terms of what they're to do. He basically tells the disciples this. In verse 4, he tells them to wait. He says, I want you to wait. You're thinking, there's a lot to do. But he says, wait. Don't do anything until the Spirit comes. Don't do anything until the Spirit leads. Don't do anything until the Spirit directs. Wait. How many of you like that word? No hands. Online, I can't see you, but you're probably going to reflect the people in the room. I don't like that word, wait, either. I get out of the shower, and there's no towels in the bathroom, so I called my wife, hey, Shell, can you bring me a towel? She goes, you're going to have to wait. I don't like that. I'm not a big fan of that. Not. My kids come to me and say, Dad, can I borrow some money? I said, you have to wait a little bit. My kids have learned that from me. They're not that happy. You go to the doctor and she says, we're just going to have to wait and see. I don't like that word wait. You see, our culture has conditioned me not to like that word wait. We live in an instant gratification, instant satisfaction, immediate culture. That's why there's so much debt in our culture, right? Because people, we don't want to wait, so we'll go into deep, deep debt to get something we can't afford now because we don't want to wait. I mean, patience being a virtue is not the case here in this country. Most people don't consider patience a virtue. We hate waiting. Be it the doctor's office or the checkout line at Martin's. We live in a world of fast food, instant pudding, instant coffee, microwave ovens. We don't like waiting. But we're called right here, right from the get-go, to wait on the Spirit. Waiting is very important, especially in the context of following Christ. Before we do mission with Jesus, we have to wait and hear from the Lord. Together. Some of the most missional people I know are the most dialed into the Spirit people that I know. They've learned to wait on God. So wait. Wait. Riverside, wait. But I think the tone here is very important. I mean, parts I don't love about reading a book is you don't really know the tone, right? I think the tone here is very important when you read the word wait. I mean, one option is this. You want God to fix everything? Well, you're going to have to wait. Right? But I think it's more like this. Oh, you want God to fix everything? Oh, you just wait. You just wait. Just wait. Do you see the difference? Can you see that? You want me to repeat it again? You just wait. Or, oh, you just wait. The Holy Spirit's going to come and fill you anew. Just wait. There's going to be Spirit power from on high fill you to the fullness. Oh, you just wait. You're going to be my witnesses to the entire earth. You think you're marginalized people? Oh, I'm going to use you to spread the greatest news throughout the entire world. You just wait. Just wait for God's perfect timing to come. His Spirit's going to move you and move this church. He's going to use you to bring about amazing things. He's going to fix everything. Oh, you just wait. think that's more the tone of Christ in the heart of God. And these important words for us to hear as a church, especially when there are so many forces and voices and opinions and politics in the world right now that are trying to divide the church and speak into the church and clutter the church and infiltrate the church and to tear us apart and distract us from mission. Jesus says, wait on the Spirit to speak. Wait on the Spirit to move. We are called to do mission with God, but that comes after the Spirit directs us and moves us and fills us. And I know Jesus is saying this at least to me, because he told me this all sabbatical. Keith, when you go back, listen. Don't go back as a hard-charging leader. Go back and listen. I've been working. Discern together what God has, what I have for you. Listen to the Spirit. Listen to others. I'm about to move in a major way in Riverside. I want a unified people on mission with me, but you're going to have to wait and listen and be unified. That's not easy. I imagine the disciples who are asking this question. They've been with Christ for 3 years. They've seen the lows. They've seen the cross. Think about the sermons they've heard from Jesus. I mean, by the way, I attended last Sunday as an attendee, not as a pastor. And Andrew, your sermon was amazing. It was really good. I can only imagine walking with Christ for 3 years, hearing his sermons firsthand. You know, the disciples are going, this has been pretty amazing. They've heard all his teachings and they've seen his miracles. And I'm sure they're ready to storm the gates of hell. They're ready to go. Jesus, verse 6, is it time? Jesus, just say the word. Restore your kingdom. And yet he says, sit tight, friends. Oh, just wait and see what's going to happen. I'm going to fill you with power and direct you in mission. And I can relate to that. I can relate to those disciples. Times where I feel so passionate to move, so self-motivated to act, so clear that God wants me to speak, right? And it's good. I want to do good things. I want to see restoration. I want to see grave injustices stopped. I want to see healing and evangelism. I want to see it all. Sometimes God just says, oh, wait, you just wait. Now, he does not say, wait until you die and go to heaven. Some Christians think this is that. Some people think it's like, oh, just hold on and wait until you die and go to heaven. He's not saying that. He's not saying bury your hand in the sand and ignore all the things that are going around. Ignore all the messed up things in our society. No, he's not saying that. He's saying wait, because I don't want self-driven, self-motivated people running around on their own, trying to bring around restoration and justice on their own, apart from my Spirit. Apart from the people of God communally together doing this work. So when he says wait, he's not saying wait by burying your head in the sand. It's an active waiting. He says wait for the Spirit to compel you. Wait for a band of brothers to come around you, a band of sisters to come alongside you. Wait for the Spirit, knowing that miracles and marching orders are coming. But there's one part of the church that just kind of thinks the gospel's an insurance policy when you die. It's now just wait until you go to heaven. There is another part of the church that's all about action, action, action. I just wonder, do you listen to the Spirit? There's this picture of Ringo Starr. He's the drummer for the Beatles. And on his shirt, there's this picture. I've never seen it before. His shirt says, Jesus is coming. Look busy. And I know it's blurry. Jesus is coming. Look busy. I kind of like think those are the two extremes in the church. Hold on till you die and go to heaven, right? Or look busy, just do something. But Jesus says, don't just do something. Wait on the Spirit. The Spirit will guide you. The Spirit will guide us. Wait for God's Spirit to guide us together as his people on mission. Action is coming. Again, read verse 8. I'm rooting, by the way, in 4 through 8, as you can see here. I mean, action is coming. We're not going to be idle. There's a lot of do mission with God to be done, but we're to wait on the Spirit's leading and prompting. But I think we don't like this word because we think it's passive. There's nothing passive about this verse. This is not a passive waiting. This is about active receptivity. You see the difference? I mean, when I wait for an Uber to come up, I'm pretty passive on that. This is not wait for your Uber ride to come. No, this is wait on the Spirit. Listen for the Spirit. Get with the people of God together and pray and then be quiet. Open the Word and see if something stirs really specifically. Like it's an active waiting. Being receptive. When he says wait, he says, oh, I'm about to lead. I'm about to do. So wait to discern. So look, friends, I just tell you, I mean, God's been clear, at least with me. I'm the guy who holds the title here, lead pastor. I'm one of your elders, but I've been away for a couple months. So this might just be for me. Maybe not. But I literally got this text coming back, hearing from the Lord before I looked at it. Keith, you need to go back and wait and listen to the people of God. And I get this text that says, you're preaching on today. Wait. So maybe it's just me who needs to be slow to speak and quick to listen. None of you probably have that problem. You're all so quick to listen. Listen to folks you don't agree with or understand or might even disagree with. I mean, you know, you're all much better at that than I am. But for me, this is what the text spoke to me this morning. The Spirit's been speaking it to me for 2 months. This type A, hard-charging, vision-driven, do mission with God kind of guy. So friends, as we go through the book of Acts together, verse by verse in the devotional and some of the highlights throughout the preaching series, it's going to be filled with adventure. Oh my goodness. It's going to be filled with miracles and movements and mission and restoration and evangelism and just amazing things. It's going to be active and packed, action-packed. I believe it's going to challenge our view of the church. Going to challenge our view of what the church is called to be about, what it means to really do mission with God. There's going to be a lot of things to respond to in this series, don't get me wrong, but I think we're called to first wait together. And by the way, it's a communal together wait. We so often read the Bible as this, okay, I'm called to wait, Keith's called to wait. No, look at verse 14. This is how I want to close. This is what the disciples of Christ do in response to the message of Jesus. They all join together, constantly in prayer. And I love this next insight here, along with the women and with Mary, the mother of Christ, and with his brothers, because it just says, look, this is all of God's people. Everyone's coming together, not just the 12 disciples that are guys, but like we're all in this together to listen. The church bands together to listen to the Spirit. They didn't wait for Peter to go up on the mountaintop or Paul to finally get converted and come back down with the message and follow the one man's voice. No, they got together. And they spent a considerable amount of time praying together and being together, waiting for the Spirit to move them and guide them. So look, friends, I do not have the three things for you to accomplish this week. I do not have, in response to this message, I have a few thoughts for you to do this week. Try this. I don't have that for you. Because God's told me, just Keith, wait and listen. Listen with God's people, because I have been moving among God's people while you have been gone. Wait and pray so you become sensitive. So, Keith, we become sensitive to what God's Spirit wants to do in us and through us. I'm convinced this next year, amazing things are going to happen. I just, I see what God is stirring with Jeff in the Beacon. I see what God is stirring in the community. I see how God is knitting people together in this church. I'm going, oh, this might be the best year ahead of us. I also know this might be one of the hardest years ahead of us because of all the things in this culture trying to divide us. But I just feel in my bones that God wants to take us to deeper waters. We're going to deeper waters with his Spirit together. We're called to wait together, to go to deeper waters with Christ together. So friends, let's do this. Let's taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you for listening to Riverside Church. For more resources, visit riverside.church.